Welcome back in studio with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm, talking through water harvesting and all the different components. It's not just rain, but we've got gray water, storm water, and then a miscellaneous, you were mentioning, evap coolers and condensation lines from our air conditioning. But as we were going to the break, we were talking about tanks, and you're not a fan of storage. Now, we're not trying to panic anyone that may have already installed it and have the tanks.
Absolutely not.
Can still be used. But if you're starting from the design, Farmer Greg's not a fan of the tanks because...
water's cheap here in Phoenix. Assuming you're in Phoenix, water's cheap here in Phoenix, and it's less expensive to... and we're going to talk about my two rainwater harvesting systems here in a little while at the Urban Farm, but tanks are expensive, and in Phoenix, water's inexpensive. Now, my friend Barbara lives down in Marana. She's on a well, and the well dries up occasionally, and so she put rainwater tanks on her, on each corner of her house, and so that's her potable water supply for the year. So there's definitely an appropriate place for tanks. You just have to be cognizant and conscious going into the process so that you design your system so that it's what works best for you, both financially and in your landscape.
And an interesting point, I'm jumping ahead, and I don't have all the information, so I shouldn't, but August coming up and Rosie on the House is Water Month, and All About Water is going to be in studio. And they've got a study, something showing on storing water, and you should never do it for more than 3 days. So I'll be interesting to hear what they're finding there, because if it's in these tanks, they've got to be dark so the light can't infiltrate, because if the light infiltrates, algae starts to grow, and like you said, black water starts developing. So it becomes a very complicated thing, and with the amount, and obviously tanks pretty much applies to rainwater. I guess you could do it in gray water.
No. Don't ever stay store gray water. That's just it's a mess waiting to happen.
It's a rare enough thing that we get water that we can use everything that's falling in real time in most cases on a proper design.
Exactly. And that's
point to the storage.
If you're planning your landscape appropriately for the desert, what you're doing is you're creating vignettes or spaces in your yard where you're planting things. And that's where you want to run the water. And you're really, with rainwater, you're watering your trees and shrubs, your permanent landscape. You can use it on your gardens, but that's what I like to do with rainwater and gray water harvesting, is plant the landscape, or plant the water, and then get the water into the landscape to water the landscape. So systems can get really expensive, really expensive. We're going to talk about my two rainwater harvesting systems here in a little while. And so what I tell people to do is keep them simple and inexpensive. The less expensive, the better. You're going to want to test your return on investment and make sure that you're, you know, not spending 30 years worth of money on a system that you really should be spending 4 or 5 or 6 years of money on. So that's one of them, one of the key pieces in water harvesting systems. Another one is that, and this is from Art Ludwig's book, there's the one universally applicable principle for all water harvesting systems is that there isn't one. So you can't stamp out a rainwater or gray water harvesting system because every system is different. So if you're looking to do rainwater and gray water harvesting at your house, you have to observe the space and do some research and get some help. Dan Moncrete over at, I think it's Living Water Systems, is great with, you know, the systems. Don Titmus out in Mesa is great at designing systems. So you really have to get some education on making sure that your rainwater and gray water system is appropriate for you.
There's a lot of things you could say that to, that, you know, the only thing that is universal is that nothing's universal.
Yeah.
I could see that being applied to a lot of different things.
Yeah, there you go.
So in our water systems, in our tank systems, our tankless systems, the first thing that obviously comes to mind is gutters. You've got to channel it somewhere coming off the roof. Once it's from the gutter, do you just have these metal conduits running all over your yard in the background? Does it look like?
That's a great question. So I actually have, I mentioned it a couple times, I have two rainwater harvesting systems at the urban farm. I have my north system, which consists of a culvert, an 8-foot tall culvert, 4-foot diameter, that we stood up on its end, poured concrete in the bottom, and that collects the north half of the water off of the roof of the urban farm. It holds about 750 gallons of water. Cost me $1,400 to put it in a decade ago. And it's not passive in any way. If I want to make it work, I have to go hook up a hose, run the hose to the part of the yard, turn the hose on, and run the water out. The other one that I have that's on the south side is an $80 system. It basically takes the gutter water. So I've got gutters on the back of the urban farm. It takes the gutter water and runs it down a pipe out into the yard. The thing about running water, and you know this, is that you have to slope the pipe. You know how much?
And the plumbing drainage, it's a quarter inch per every foot.
Quarter inch per every foot, exactly. So you have to slope that pipe a quarter inch per every foot. So the farther away from your house, the more of a slope, the deeper you're going to go. So the one that I have on the south side of the house is basically a 3-inch black pipe that runs out to my orchard.
We're in the backyard with Urban Farmer. Well, front and backyard at the Urban Farm. We're in the yard with Farmer Greg. More after this.